Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon, and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, broadcasting here from right outside of Orlando on this somewhat cloudy Sunday afternoon. Again, thank you for listening. If you want to call in today as we go through this very exciting show that we have for you today, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. I also like to remind you, if you want to, you can follow me at Blue Zone Wellness. I'm sorry, at Twitter. At Blue Zone Wellness. Also, you can look me up on Facebook. I am facebook.com/naturedoc. That's facebook.com/naturedoc, NATUREDOC. Again, we have a very exciting show for you today. We're broadcasting on the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We're blogtalkradio.com/nextlevelwellness. That's blogtalkradio.com/nextlevelwellness. We are going to follow our normal outline that we normally follow, starting off, of course, with our week in natural news review, then moving on to our healing foods, and finishing up with our healing supplement herb segments. Again, we are going to be talking about some very interesting articles, as well as when we deal with our, today we're going to be talking about bananas and the benefits of bananas. We're going to talk about a couple of different herbs. We're going to be talking about Oregon grapefruit, as well as a little bit more about ginseng. We mentioned that a little bit last week. Again, if you'd like to call in during the show with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That is if you're listening live. We're here every Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. If you're listening to a replay or rebroadcast or on-demand version, of course, you won't be able to call in. But you can do so again if you're listening live. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get started. Just like to remind you before we do that, though, that we also have the chat room open at Blog Talk Radio /Next Level Wellness. Just go there. You can see the put a question in the chat room. Oftentimes, people don't like to call in, but you can put a chat in the chat room, a question or a comment in the chat room. I'm going to come back right after this quick message. And we are going to get started. Hang in there till I get back.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work, or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Welcome back to Your Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for listening, wherever you may be listening from, around the world or here in the United States. Special welcome to my Costa Rican friends. Thank you for listening as well. And we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to drop right into our first article in this, our first segment, the Week in Natural News Review. And this article was taken from naturalnews.com. It was just entitled, "Avocado Helps Mediate the Inflammatory Effect of Grilled Meats to Lower Risk of Heart Disease." Again, if you've not listened before, this is the The first segment, we look at articles that have come out during the week dealing with natural health, et cetera, and we talk about and analyze these articles in this first segment. And we have about three articles to look at in this first segment. And this first article, again, is entitled, Avocado Helps Mediate the Inflammatory Effect of Grilled Meats to Lower Risk of Heart Disease. And the article goes on to explain, starts off by talking about how eating a diet high in processed food, which we hear often, and sugary treats, refined carbohydrates, and especially grilled meats such as hamburger, immediately raises damaging levels of inflammation throughout the body. And we've talked about that on here before. We've talked about some of the herbs like turmeric that helps with inflammation and how inflammation is a precursor to a great number of the chronic diseases that we find so often emerging amongst us. At any rate, the article goes on to point out how grilled meat such as hamburger immediately raises, as well as sugary treats and refined carbohydrates, how these things immediately raises the damaging levels of inflammation throughout our bodies, prompted by the release of the protein interleukin-6, or IL-6. The article points out how researchers use measurements of serum IL-6 to determine systemic inflammation throughout the body, and they've determined it is actually a very effective gauge to assess the risk for developing many chronic illnesses, including cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, dementia, and metabolic syndrome. In short, the level of chronic inflammation that you and I may have in our bodies are early indicators, and we've talked about this before, of you developing a disease, because that inflammation sets the stage. And once that inflammation sets the stage, it's almost like a fertilizer. And as it sets the stage for a disease, or like a good ground, not so much fertilizer, but rather it's like tilling the ground of your body, tilling the biological terrain, and making it more advantageous for a disease to proliferate inside the body. Now, the article goes on to continue that a research team from the University of California published the result of a study recently in the journal Food and Nutrition to provide evidence that consuming half of a fresh avocado with a burger may actually counteract the protein IL-6 as compared to eating a burger without the vegetable, or the vegetable, again, being avocado. Now, avocados have been maligned for years, as the article points out, because of their high fat content. But you have to remember, the type of fat in an avocado is not the type of fat that you're getting in, say, a hamburger. And so we've talked about the benefit of a plant-based diet. As you know, I advocate that here on Use On Wellness. I've advocated it. I've been on a plant-based diet myself for about 20 years. And it is a very advantageous diet. It has to be eaten in a balanced way. Any diet, some people say, well, this diet is not a balanced diet. Well, if you think about it for a moment, you have to eat a variety of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. You just can't eat the same vegetable or the same fruit over and over and over again. Of course, you're going to have problems with the vegan diet. But it's the same thing with the regular diet. Most people are nutrient deficient, and they eat meat and cheese and everything else, but they still have a lot of deficiencies, because the majority of their diet are just made up of those proteins or carbohydrates, as opposed to complex carbohydrates. But the article goes on to point out how extensive research over the past several years has fully vindicated the vegetable avocado. And not only that, the clinical trials are now being conducted to examine the association between consuming avocados as well as and the possible beneficial role in weight management and chronic disease risk reduction, along with determining avocados' capacity or capability to increase the absorption of nutrients in our bodies. And the particular study that this article is referring to here, or zeroing in on, is a study that involved a cohort of healthy males, it says, between the ages of 18 and 35. And again, this was conducted by a research team from the University of California. And according to the article, the men were fed a meal consisting of a hamburger with no avocado. And as a result of this, it says that the blood serum levels of IL-6, remember, that's how this is the protein that causes the inflammation, were sampled for 4 hours after eating. And the researchers found that volunteers experienced a significant increase in the inflammatory protein of 70%. So this spike, the article says, is similar to the level absorbed when a person is fighting a bacterial or viral pathogen. So it's almost like an infection when it goes up this way, when it's inflammation, when it's protein is consumed in the body, causes an inflammatory reaction. The article goes on to say that the IL-6 typically drops in a healthy person as the infection is controlled, but many people consuming a diet that's high in inflammatory foods never experience a return to the normalized level. So, for instance, when some pathogen or another, some bacterial or viral infection hits us, we'll see this spike in our bodies as a result of this infection. But once our immune system gets this infection under control, it goes back to normal. The article points out how this does not happen in people who are eating foods that causes this inflammatory response. And so they're like in a constant state of infection as far as the body is concerned. The article goes on to say that when the men were fed the same hamburger meal along with one half of an avocado, IL-6 levels were controlled at 40%. As opposed to jumping up to 70%. So in short, when they ate the hamburger alone, the levels of IL-6 protein shot up to 70%, indicating an inflammatory response. When they ate the hamburger together with the avocado, it only went up to 40%. That's a 30% reduction. The article said researchers observed that triglyceride levels were not raised when adding the avocado as well. And it goes on to say that this is important as elevated triglycerides are directly associated with increased risk of arterial plaques, as well as being associated with cardiovascular disease and heart attack risk. Further, the scientists found, the article says, that measures of peripheral blood flow were reduced by 27% after eating the burger alone, yet did not change significantly after consuming the burger with avocado. So even eating this hamburger even reduced the capacity of the blood flow, peripheral blood flow, into the body. So eating this just one hamburger had the capacity to just do this, and yet the drastic negative effect of the hamburger was cut back when the eating was combined with the avocado. Now remember, the avocado is in harmony with eating with the colors of the rainbow. I've said before that the closer we eat to the garden and in harmony with the colors of the rainbow that the Creator has given us, the more healthy we will be. And the colors of the rainbow are Roy G. Bill: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. When you're eating as close to the garden as possible, as freshly as possible, and those foods are the colors of the rainbow, the representation of the covenant, of the Creator's covenant with the earth, that's also a covenant of health. Now, the lead author, according to this article of this study, Dr. David Heber, said, quote, "This study supports the hypothesis that fresh avocado may help support normal vascular function, which is important for heart health." He goes on to say that some of the after-meal effects observed after eating the plain burger, specifically inflammation and narrowing blood vessels, were reduced within hours, and triglycerides did not increase beyond what was observed after eating the burger alone. The article goes on to say that this study supports a wealth of recent scientific publications demonstrating the importance of combining raw and lightly steamed vegetables with less healthy food choices to significantly lower the risk of heart disease as well as other chronic illnesses. Now, this is very interesting when you think about it. When those like myself promote the plant-based diet, you can see that even eating an unhealthy hamburger with an avocado, with one of the foods that our Creator has given us, severely reduce the damage that this food could do. Now think about eating a plant-based diet altogether without the harmful food, and think about what your health can be. And so this is why the plant-based diet is far superior to any diet involving any meat or any dairy products, as long as the plant-based diet is eaten in an intelligent way. In other words, eaten in connection with a variety of different foods, of plant-based foods, not just the same food over and over and over and over every day. Now, we're going to move over to our next article. It's also from naturalnews.com, and it's really our main article today, which is the title of this show. And basically, the title of this article was actually Stress, Fatigue, Check Your Vitamin D Levels. And I'm talking about this particular vitamin D. We've talked about it before in previous shows, but we're talking about it again from a different angle as additional information and research comes out on these vitamins and nutrients and how they can be used and what we find, things we may find in our clinical practice that may benefit our listeners. Now, according to this particular article, there's now evidence that stress and fatigue and depression are connected to low serum levels of vitamin D, in addition to known immunity, illness, and disease issues. And the article goes on to point out how the more up-to-date integrative or holistic MDs, as well as naturopaths, recognize that 25-hydroxyvitamin D or 25-OHD3 test serum levels should be in the 50 to 80 nanogram per milliliter for optimal health. Not only that, this particular test, the 25-hydroxyvitamin D or 25-OHD3 test, is the only test that will actually accurately assess your vitamin D levels. Yet sometimes doctors will order the 125-dehydroxyvitamin D test. So, in other words, if you get that second test, the 125-dehydroxyvitamin D test, sometimes this test will actually show people whose vitamin D serum levels are low will read high on that test and be led, and they will be led to believe that all is well and be misdiagnosed. So again, listen carefully. The more up to date, and even as this article points out, integrative or holistic medical doctors and naturopaths recognize that 25-hydroxyvitamin D, or for short, 25-OHD3 tests, is the test to give you an accurate snapshot of your vitamin D3 level. So you have to, you just can't get just any vitamin D3 test. Again, usually the test that many doctors will give you is the 125-dehydroxyvitamin D test, and the one you need is a 25-hydroxyvitamin D or 25-OHD3. This article is going to point out how mainstream medicine pegs normal levels at under 50 nanogram a milliliter, down to 30 nanogram a milliliter, and even lower. And according to Dr. Frank Lipman, those readings are sufficient to prevent rickets or soft bones, but not for optimal health. Dr. Lipman is the founder of the 1111 Wellness Center in New York City. He lists fatigue, restless sleep, and poor concentration among other symptoms of vitamin D deficiencies. And he points out how over 80% of his clients are vitamin D deficient, which correlates with the general population epidemic. Again, as I've said on here before, the number one form of vitamin D3 is sunshine. Now, if you're not deficient and you're getting out in the sunshine every day, 30 to 45 minutes or a little bit longer, and your levels are sufficient, you'll be okay. Now, if you've gotten into a situation where you're significantly deficient, you may need to go on a supplement for a while to bring your serum levels to acceptable levels, and then you can maybe come off of the supplement. Now, if you live in an area where you don't get a lot of sunshine, that may be a little bit different. But we here in Florida, we get a lot of sunshine practically year-round. And so, but if you are living in an area where you don't get a lot of sunshine, then especially in the winter months, you're going to need to supplement your vitamin D levels. No doubt about that. And so this particular article goes on to point out further, talking about the benefit of vitamin D upon fatigue, et cetera, poor concentration, et cetera, goes on to say, the author goes on to say that Dr. Anna Dorothea Hawk, who's the MD from Cologne, Germany, has treated fatigue with vitamin D therapy using the 25-OHD3 test that I've been talking about here, then boosting those readings accordingly. In other words, realizing that you have to have so much of this particular type of vitamin D3 serum in the blood to have optimal levels in the body. The article is going to point out how she has discovered with actual clinical treatments that those with the lower levels of chronic fatigue recovered quickly, while more severe cases actually require adding minerals with the vitamin, especially calcium as well as magnesium. You heard me also, if you listen frequently, talk about the importance as well as the benefits of calcium and magnesium. The article says further, the academic paper based on her clinical work with vitamin D can be obtained. Also, he goes on to say that both doctors urge inexpensive and accessible vitamin D3, not pharmaceutical D2 supplementation. Some who are exposed to sunlight get low readings. Dr. Lippman presents some D3 dosage guidelines as well. Now, the article goes on to say further, and citing several studies, again, this article can be found at naturalnews.com, and it's entitled Stressed, Fatigued, Check Your Vitamin D Levels. The article goes on to point out further with respect to research. It talks about some other research that has been done, and it cites some other research. But it goes on to say that one study with the number of MS patients were done, that's multiple sclerosis, 59 MS patients was conducted in the Netherlands, and they too, this study also used the same lower standards of vitamin D. And in this particular study with the MS patients, again, them having not using the higher level of vitamin D that's being recommended by naturopaths and medical doctors who practice natural medicine, as well as integrated doctors who have a better understanding of this of vitamin D, the necessary vitamin D level. They found out in this study of 59 patients with MS in the Netherlands that the same low standards of vitamin D end up producing the same or similar conclusion. They also found that depression was associated with vitamin D insufficiency and deficiency, while fatigue was not as significant. So vitamin D deficiency is largely associated with depression, not only deficiency but insufficiency. Again, the article points out that fatigue, they believe that fatigue could have been a factor within what they consider to be normal ranges, but in reality it's not. In other words, the studies found out that one of the reasons their fatigue was occurring because they thought the vitamin D levels were in the normal range, when actually they weren't. And when you raise the vitamin D3 levels or D levels to the normal ranges, the higher ranges that most natural practitioners recommend, as opposed to the normal ranges that allopathic medicine is considered regular, many of these symptoms will begin to disappear. This article also cites the online magazine Body Ecology, and it mentions how, citing this article, it says, or citing the article in Body Ecology, this article says that Body Ecology mentions the low vitamin D levels are often subclinical, which means you may be functioning but not in optimal health, or what Dr. Lippman calls the walking wounded. So in other words, you could have enough vitamin D to get to and fro, but that does not mean that you're not deficient. You have enough to survive, but you don't have the optimal amounts. And if that's not occurring, sooner or later you will probably slip into depression or slip into some of the other health problems that we see here, fatigue, etc. This article goes on to say that the article in Body Ecology also mentions how stress produced cortisol may inhibit vitamin D receptor functioning. So in other words, stress, as we've talked about on here before as well, may actually, which produces cortisol, may actually inhibit the vitamin D receptors on your cells. So even if you're getting sufficient vitamin D3 from sunlight or from supplements, you may need to get more high-quality sleep to be able to use it. Again, that's one of those natural health laws of health that you hear me talk about that the Creator has given us. Again, trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control. Those are the ultimate laws of healing and health. And so, again, have fatigue, have stress, or if you want to test your vitamin D3 levels, which I also recommend, I can conduct the test or place an order for the test if you need to. If you're here in the Orlando area and you need that done, you can go to my website, faith3ministries.com, give me a call there, and we can set you up to get this test taken to test your vitamin D3 levels. Again, it has to be this specific type of test to get an accurate reading. It's called a 25-hydroxyvitamin D or 25-OHD3 test. And so we'll move on now to our final article in our Week in Natural News Review. And this is a very interesting article. It's an article dealing with the ability of lavender oil, that is, specifically, for migraine headaches. And this is interesting. This is also, I stay with Natural News for most of my articles this time. I normally go with different sources, but they have a lot of good articles that I want to address this week. So this is, again, from naturalnews.com. And the article starts off by saying America is a migraine nation. And then it gives some very interesting statistics with respect to the number of migraines. I know that America, I know all of my listeners are not just from America, so just bear with me for a moment because these are all the statistics that I have. But even wherever country you're in, especially if it's a country that has a westernized diet, I notice you're having migraines. You yourself might not be having, but people there have migraines. And so if you don't have migraines yourself, if you listen to this information, you can download this episode or send people to listen to it once it's complete. It'll be available about 10 minutes after it's over, after the live broadcast is over. Listen to it, re-listen to it, recommend to your friends or family members or coworkers this information. But approximately, according to this article, 37 million Americans suffer from migraine headaches. And it's estimated that there are 2 to 3 million chronic migraine sufferers, and about 5 million have a minimum of one migraine attack every month. This article goes on to point out further with respect to these statistics that 11 million Americans are moderately to severely disabled by migraines, and 91% can't work or function during a migraine attack, while 24% wind up in the emergency room because of severe pain. It goes on to point out further that a migraine, just in the event that you don't know it, the article gives even more details, is actually a debilitating type of headache with one or more symptoms. Some people, not everyone will get these symptoms, but some people will experience symptoms of nausea, and about 73% of people will actually experience nausea. About 76% will actually experience sound sensitivity. 29% of migraine sufferers will actually experience vomiting. 44% will actually experience vision anomalies. Some people will get pulsating or throbbing head pain. That's about 85%. 59% of them will get pain on one side of the head, and 80% will have a sensitivity to light. Not only that, some migraine sufferers experience warning symptoms about 30 minutes prior to a migraine attack, and it's called an aura, and it's been described by many migraine sufferers as an odd body sensations in various parts of their body and or a visual disturbance. And that's about 36% of migraine sufferers will get this aura 30 minutes or so, maybe even longer, before experiencing a migraine attack. Now, if you have ever had a migraine, or if you've ever seen someone that are experiencing a migraine headache, they can tell you that it's not a very pleasant experience. And let's look at some of the scientific clinical research that has come out in this article. I think it's very enlightening and very helpful. In 2012, for the first time, that was last year, a placebo-controlled clinical study, or clinical trial rather, confirmed that lavender essential oil aromatherapy is effective in relieving migraine headaches. According to this article, the study was conducted by the Department of Neurology, School of Medicine, Mashhad University of Medical Sciences, and Mashhad, Iran. And this particular trial took 47 participants that were diagnosed with migraines and who were randomly assigned to one of two groups. Now, one group of the migraine sufferers were instructed to apply 2 to 3 drops of the lavender essential oil on their upper lip and inhale its vapors for about a 15-minute period, and then score the severity of their headache for the next 2 hours. The control group followed the exact same protocol, but instead of lavender essential oil, they rubbed drops of liquid wax on their upper lip. And no other interventions were allowed in the study. Now, here are the results of this clinical trial. The researchers concluded, or let me back up, the lavender group not only reported a 74% improvement in the severity of their symptoms, they also reported significantly fewer migraines than the placebo group. In other words, the lavender helped the migraine sufferers at about three-quarters of almost 70%, 75% of the time, 74%. So that's three-quarters. That's pretty significant. The researchers then concluded that inhalation of the lavender essential oils may be a safe and effective treatment for acute migraine headache management. And although this was a small study, and they claimed that more studies need to be done, and actually others have been done with respect to lavender, as well as a lot of other herbs, et cetera. This article goes on to point out how lavender essential oil has been demonstrated in other scientific studies to have analgesic or pain-killing properties, nervine properties, or calm the nerve, sedative properties for mood and anxiety disorders, and spasmodic reduction properties, relieving spasms or convulsions, in addition to being antihypertensive. In other words, it helps to dilate your blood vessels or dilate your blood vessels. Lavender is also an excellent antimicrobial, antifungal, and effective antiseptic, as well as an anti-inflammatory. And there, you have many aromatherapists who routinely recommend lavender essential oil for insomnia and calming nervous system, as well as relieving headaches. It's one of the things that I've learned over the years in my studies as naturopathic doctor studies, that lavender is commonly used as for those who suffer from insomnia. And the reason it would work is because it actually calms and soothes the nerves, similar to valerian and a couple of other herbs that are what we call nervines, or herbs that work specifically for your nerves. Now, this article actually also compares the use of lavender in this particular clinical study with pharmaceutical painkillers head to head. And it found that Tylenol, high dosages of Tylenol actually helped migraine sufferers only about 50% of the time. Ibuprofen worked about 57% of the time, and the number one prescribed prescription drug, Emetrex, had about a 59% rating. So here you have Tylenol, high dosages of Tylenol at that work about half the time. Ibuprofen work about 57% of the time, and prescription number one prescribed prescription drug, Emetrex, works about 59% of the time. And the lavender had a success rate, a relief rate of 74%. So none of these even come really close to the power of lavender essential oil. Now, you have to remember, when you're using an essential oil, an aromatherapy oil, an essential oil is not the same as a fragrance. An essential oil will be a lot more expensive because they're medicinal. A fragrance is not going to have the medicinal power typically as an essential oil. And so you have to be careful, make sure that when you're dealing with the oils, the essential oils, that you're getting oils and not just fragrances. This article goes on to point out, it gives a short list of pharmaceutical painkiller side effects, the ones that it mentioned, the ones that it compared to lavender for migraine. Tylenol, for instance, can cause liver damage and liver failure with large or chronic dosages. Also, there are roughly 80,000 acetaminophen overdoses that visit the ER every year, and about 4,000 people die from liver poisoning from this. Ibuprofen can cause some of the side effects of ibuprofen are rash, ringing in your ears, headaches, dizziness, drowsiness, abdominal pain, nausea, and also it may cause ulceration of your stomach or intestines, as well as bleeding ulcers. Emetrex, which is, again, the number one recommended prescription drug for migraines, has also some pretty significant side effects, including anxiety, chest pain or tightness, trouble breathing, abdominal or stomach pain, as well as sometimes vomiting, blood, and even blindness, where lavender essential oils used for aromatherapy are generally regulated as safe by the, or regarded rather as safe by the FDA. As long as I said earlier before, that you are taking or using essential oils and not just fragrances. You're listening to You Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and pivot over into our food, our healing food segment, and we will probably not take another break after that. We will probably go from our healing food segment right into our healing herb, healing supplements segment. The healing food we'll be talking about, we're going to talk a little bit about bananas. We're going to talk about 10 benefits of the banana, and then we're going to go and talk a little bit about Oregon grapefruit. Not a whole lot about that. And then we're also going to talk about a little bit about ginseng. Interesting article came out with ginseng. Again, thank you for listening. I will be back in just a moment. You're listening to You Zone Wellness.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Do you or a loved one wear hearing aids or glasses? How about a cochlear implant? Need extra help keeping them in place? The Ear Connection has just what you've been looking for. They have retention products for every need, including oral atresia or microtia. They have adjustable straps, clips, and hair berets that attach to your hearing device, glasses, or both. Go to GetSafeAndSound.com today. That's GetSafe, the letter N, sound.com today. They're just what you've been looking for.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to U-Zone Wellness. Again, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. When I left, we had just finished going through our first segment. And that segment is our weekend afternoon review. And now we're going to go ahead and get started. Move over to our segment on healing food. This week we'll be talking about banana, as I said before we went to break. Now, again, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Now, as we talk about banana is a lot of people's favorite fruit. But there's a lot of benefits that you might not be aware that the banana possesses. And so we're going to talk about a few of the benefits that it can or that it does possess. So here's one of the best things about banana, not among them being very tasty. They actually help your circulatory system. In fact, bananas are actually one of the best ways of maintaining a healthy circulatory system. That's because bananas are among the richest sources of potassium, and they barely contain any sodium. And again, remember, your circulatory system is very important, and one of the best things for it is your potassium. You know, many people have had health issues or whatnot, and they've been rushed to the hospital, and they found that their sodium levels or potassium levels are so low that they were about to die, and they give them potassium. But here we have the Creator has put significant amounts of potassium in bananas. So that's something a lot of people are aware. And so this is also very good for your heart. Also, we were talking about energy levels in our last segment, but bananas also have enough calories to energize, to give you a lot of energy for hours. In fact, many enthusiasts think of bananas as nature's energy bar. When I say enthusiasts, those who like to work out. So when you know, eating bananas actually gives you a lot of energy because they're just so packed with nutrients. And overall, the Creator has given banana, as opposed to us, when we're going to work out and we're not grabbing an energy bar while we're eating, we eat that banana. And also, banana is considered somewhat of a heavy fruit as opposed to, say, maybe an orange. And so perhaps that's also one of the reasons is you get so much of energy from bananas outside of the nutritional underpinnings that it has. Not only that, as mentioned earlier, bananas are rich in potassium, but they also contain high levels of magnesium. Again, another heart-healthy mineral. And so think about it for a moment. If you become deficient in magnesium or potassium, the absence of both of these minerals actually can trigger cramps. So therefore, one of the ways to help prevent cramps is by eating bananas, because it's high in both magnesium as well as potassium. Not only that, banana also is beneficial for your has beneficial gut microbes. Bananas they contain a particular substance that actually make the stomach friendly bacteria live much longer. So as you know, you have good bacteria and bad bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract. And as long as your good bacteria is outweighs significantly your bad bacteria, generally speaking, your gastrointestinal health is going to be pretty good. But anytime that the bad bacteria gets into a situation to where it outweighs your good bacteria, you're going to have some problems. And one of the good things about bananas is that it actually helps your good bacteria or your friendly bacteria live much longer than normal. They also help protect the stomach lining from the damaging effect of having too much gastric juices in your tummy or your stomach. So again, that's another benefit of bananas. Another benefit is that people who suffer from diarrhea are at risk of losing considerable amounts of electrolytes. So a lot of times, if you've had diarrhea, if you've eaten something or got some food poisoning or some children or whatever, if you're all grown-ups, sometimes you get into a bout of severe or moderate or even light diarrhea. And the thing about diarrhea is not only do you lose water, you're losing electrolytes. And fortunately, eating a banana is still amongst the fastest ways of gaining crucial substances as electrolytes. So again, we've talked about magnesium, we've talked about potassium, we've talked about electrolytes, we've talked about the substance that helps your friendly bacteria live longer. So again, we're just going through some of the benefits of banana that our Creator has given us. And if you think about it, it's also one of those foods that I talk about eating in harmony with the rainbow. And again, it is the color of yellow. And whenever you see these color-coded foods, you can be sure that the Creator has given us those foods with those color codes to help us recognize that these foods are actually very beneficial for us. Also, bananas actually can help combat constipation because they are indeed rich in fiber. They're very rich in fiber. So they're very, very healthy, again, for your gastrointestinal tract, for your bowel especially. Also, there are just some physicians or some a little evidence that bananas can help with the libido boosting nutrients, or they contain some libido boosting nutrients. In other words, they can kind of help your sex life. Anything that helps your body anyway, anything that has magnesium, potassium, all your nutrients are actually going to help your sex life, because the healthier you are as a human being, the healthier your organs, your reproductive organs, etc., are going to be. And so automatically it's going to help benefit your sex life. Not only your reproductive organs, but your mind plays a very significant part in that. Also, bananas they contain high amounts of the amino acid tryptophan. And that simply means that they're more than capable of raising your serotonin levels, and this could actually help people who find it very, very difficult to get to sleep. So it's very, 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 very interesting when you think about all the things that bananas can do. And finally, they also they can help your skin. In fact, for those who like to keep their skin smooth, eating bananas is actually beneficial for your skin, and they've actually proven, in fact, that the fruit actually effectively solves those who have dry skin. So bananas are very, very beneficial. I just gave you briefly 10 benefits of bananas. 10 benefits. So eat bananas, eat all kinds of fruit, as we talked about. Eat avocados, which is a vegetable. Eat foods that are in harmony with the laws of health as well as with the colors of the rainbow, and you will definitely get some serious benefits because these foods are packed with nutrients. And if you had to pay a pharmaceutical company for some of the benefits that the Creator has packed into these fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains, you couldn't afford that because every time you have to pay for it, it would be $50 or $60. And not only that, it would never be in a synergistic amount that the Creator has put into our foods. So now finally we're going to pivot over into our final segment, which is the healing foods. I'm sorry, which is the healing herb, healing supplement. And we're going to talk about two in these last 15 minutes or so, herbs. And the first one we're going to talk about, if time permits, is Oregon grapefruit. Oregon grapefruit. Now, this is not a popular amongst, it's familiar amongst practitioners, but it's not one of those popular herbs like you hear about maybe echinacea or golden seal or garlic or one of these others. But Oregon grapefruit is actually a very, very powerful herb. Although it has the name grape, it has nothing to do with the grape as we realize. It's not in the grape family, the fruit. But experts have been recommending Oregon grapefruit for a long time. In fact, recently experts have been recommending some alternatives instead of the powerful natural antibiotic golden seal. Golden seal is very, very expensive, but it's very, very effective. But a lot of herbalists and naturopaths and medical doctors who practice natural medicine, who practice integrative medicine as well, will actually recommend or are familiar with using grapefruit as a alternative to using golden seal. And for instance, if you take grapefruit, it has the ability to treat skin conditions that are chronic, such as eczema, acne, and psoriasis. And not only that, Oregon grapefruit, because it works to a great degree again, it's antibacterial, antifungal. It works like an antibiotic. That's why it's used by many practitioners in the place of golden seal. It's been recommended because there's a shortage of golden seal. So that's one of the reasons that golden seal has become so expensive. Oregon grapefruit is actually a bacterial infection fighter, and it's used both internally as well as being used externally. Not only that, it's healing to the skin, the eyes, as well as the mucous membranes, as I just noted. It helps to purify your blood as well as your liver of waste. Not only that, it can help stimulate the function of your gallbladder as well as your liver. In fact, in our cleanse, Eden cleanse that we produce here, we have Oregon grapefruit in part one of the cleanse, a two-part cleanse. And the reason that I put it in there as one of the elements in there is because of its ability to help detoxify and clean waste out of the liver and out of the gallbladder. So this is one of the reasons I include Oregon grapefruit in there. It's all, again, as I said earlier, it's also a bacterial infection fighter. It has a very bitter taste to it, but it stimulates and it improves your digestive function. That's another reason that I put it in Eat and Cleanse. Also, if one article even recently that was on Natural News came out and it pointed out how Oregon grapefruit has been used to treat flu and cold as well as other infections. And in fact, it also cited that in lab studies, Oregon grapefruit has been found to be able to suppress or kill disease-causing microbes such as E. coli, Candida, as well as some other fungi. And it's actually a very, very, very powerful, again, natural antibiotic. Not only that, there's also been some uses of it. Some herbal practitioners have also used it. And we're talking about Oregon grapefruit. It's been used in, as I said earlier, in cases of acne, allergic rashes, eczema, and psoriasis. Now, Oregon grapefruit has been tested as a treatment for psoriasis and has been found to be very, very, very effective at reducing and preventing the lesions that are affiliated with psoriasis. In fact, there have been some laboratory research that suggests that Oregon grapefruit has some effects at the cellular level that might be helpful in the treatment of psoriasis overall, slowing down the abnormal cell growth as well as reducing inflammation. So here we're talking about Oregon grapefruit being such an effective remedy that it actually can work on the cellular level. Now, you've heard me say on here before that we live or die on the cellular level. And the reason that's true is because the cells make up the tissue make up the organ make up the systems, and the systems make up the body. So if you go down to the basic level of life, that cell, and if you can get health and wellness on the cellular level, then automatically the cell being the basis of the tissue is going to heal the tissue, and the tissue being the basis of the organ is going to be healed, and then the organs being the basis of the particular system, the systems are going to be healed, and thereby you're going to have a healthy body. Also, part of its action, organ great root, is to help the liver function to metabolize waste and toxins, as I said earlier. So if the liver is not functioning optimally, this often manifests itself as skin problems. Skin problems can be treated both internally as well as externally. Again, if those organs of elimination, the liver being one because it detoxifies the blood and the other fluids, if you have liver congestion, oftentimes you're going to have skin problems. If you have if your kidneys are dirty, oftentimes you can have skin problems. If your colon is backed up, oftentimes you're going to have skin problems. In natural medicine, we call the skin your third kidney. The reason being is because if your organs, your other organs of channels rather of eliminations are backed up, also another one being your lungs, your breathing out poisons, breathing in oxygen, breathing out carbon dioxide or carbonic acid, breathing in oxygen is one of the ways to help cleanse the blood and cleanse the system. In natural medicine, we often call your skin your third kidney. In a good way, in a bad way. In a good way is that when you sweat, the body, one of the cooling systems of the body is through sweating. You sweat out impurities. Even when we do hydrotherapy, the reason for hydrotherapy is some forms of hydrotherapy is to cause, we do like sweat baths, to cause the impurities to pass through the skin. So it's considered a third kidney because of its detoxification properties. But at the same time, if those other level channels of elimination are congested, then you will see those toxins coming through your skin as well. And hereby you will end up with psoriasis and some of these other abnormalities. Now also, it's been shown to help in diarrhea and gastritis. In fact, berberine has been shown to effectively treat diarrhea in patients infected with E. coli. Berberine is considered the active constituent within organ great root, as well as some other herbs. Not only that, it can actually help inhibit the ability of bacteria to attach to your human cells, which also helps prevent infections, particularly in the throat, your intestines, and in your urinary tract. So that would mean that it could help fight off any bacteria infections in any of those areas. Again, it's available. Organ great root is available in capsules, ointments, tablets, as well as tinctures. And for instance, you're going to be treating topical issues. You might have to treat skin problems. Topical creams can be used, or ointments containing at least 10% organ grape extract, and it can generally be applied about 3 times a day to any affected skin areas. It can also be using compresses, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we're going to move on, because we're almost out of time, to our other herb here. Again, before we move on, just want to mention that's Oregon grape root, and we may be doing a little more, you know, talk about Oregon grape root in the future. Spell Oregon, like the state, grape, grape root, if you want to do any additional research. I may do an article on it sooner or later on the blog, I'm not sure, but Oregon grape root. Very, very beneficial herb. One of those not so popular that many people might not. It's not one of those more popular herbs. Many people may not have heard of it. Nevertheless, it's a very effective herb. Finally, our last nutrient or herb that we're going to talk about in the show for today is going to be ginseng. We talked a little bit about ginseng on last week. Now, back in the 60s and 70s, as I said earlier, ginseng was very, very popular, and it was all the rage for energy and for stamina, but also for preventing illness and also for increasing libido. After a while, though, here in the West, it faded away from Western natural health awareness and thereby from consumer interest. But the history of ginseng actually goes much farther back than the 60s and 70s. It actually was considered able to instill energy and stamina, as not only that, as well as libido enhancement, back to thousands, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago in Chinese medicine. But now, with the new interest in natural medicine, et cetera, it's making a comeback, and it's often labeled Panax ginseng in trials and tests. But all that indicates, as I said before last week, when we look in the store, you'll see it normally as Siberian ginseng or Eleuthero root. Now, there's been some legal issues here in too, so you may not be able to find it on a Siberian ginseng. You may have to look on the Eleuthero root, but both are good, or it's the same thing. So according to botanists, Siberian ginseng is in the same family as the Panax genus, which is the one that you will see actually used in studies. And there was a long-term, large epidemiological Korean study, again published in the 2009 Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, and that was set up to determine if there was an association with ginseng intake and mortality or longevity. And this Korean study shown that in 1985, there was 6,282 subjects, age 55 and older. And in all actuality, it's true that they were able to determine that those males and female ginseng users, that those amongst them, at the end of the study, they found that ginseng actually helps. We talked about this a little bit last week. Actually help men who are taking it live longer than they normally would have lived. In fact, it showed a significant reduction in all causes of mortality or death from all sources among males, but not among females. And so, again, there was another Chinese study using mice that was set up to determine the effects of ginseng on energy metabolism and mitochondrial production. I mentioned before that mitochondrial production is the center of the cell which produces the energy. And both of these mechanisms, especially mitochondrial protection, promote anti-aging as well as longevity. This is a study done in 2009 in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. And again, it showed the ability of ginseng to help with the ATP or the energy source of the cell, which is located in the mitochondria, which is in the nucleus of the cell. And again, we talked a little bit about that last week, and we didn't really get to finish it up. But to make a long story short, by taking ginseng, you can extend your life if you are a male. It's not that it doesn't help females, but this is one of the benefits for males, that it reduces mortality from all causes. Of course, there are other benefits. For instance, another study, which was more of a review and report from Boston University, was published in Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine in 2009. And they reported, as I mentioned before, that although there's evidence of ginseng's ability to increase insulin production, it decreases pancreas beta cell death, and it actually reduces blood glucose in diabetic type 2 patients. And so here you have ginseng. I've often recommended it in my practice for energy and for to rebuild the adrenal glands. But here you see it also has been found to help with your cells, to help your cells live longer. This would account for, because it does work on the mitochondria, this would account for the energy that one can get from taking it. Also, it helps reduce blood glucose in diabetic type 2 patients. Not only that, it decreases beta cell death in those in the pancreas, which would cut back on diabetic deaths or even those who are being diagnosed with diabetes. I am essentially out of time. Have about 90 seconds left. I'd like to thank you for listening today, wherever you may have been listening from. If you happen to be listening to the archive, just remember you can download them. You can put them on CDs. You can give them to your friends and your family members. So if there's something that you want your family member to hear that you think would benefit them or your friends or your coworkers, and you may not feel that you're able to explain it to them sufficiently, download it, burn it to a CD, give it to them, tell them, hey, listen to this, or send them to the website. They can listen online or some listening device, some digital device. And I remind you to join me next week here at the same time from 4 to 5 p.m. You can go again, remember to visit faith3ministries.com or go to the blog, check out some of the articles there. Not only that, you can visit, I post links to much information throughout the week on Facebook. You can send me a friend request at facebook.com/naturedoc. Again, at facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also visit faith3ministries.com/wordpress to read lots and lots and loads of free information. And until next week, I'll see you then. God bless, and you have a good week.